Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
This is Miracles Part 2, and this series is going to lead us all the way up to the most incredible miracle that we could ever celebrate on Easter, Jesus, our risen Savior. And Matthew is the first gospel out of the four gospels that begin the New Testament. Matthew chapter 17, we're going to start in verse 14. And today I'm going to read out of the Passion Translation. Now, maybe you don't have that translation. You've got NIV or King James Version. That's okay. You'll be able to track with me. But I'm going to read out of the Passion Translation. Matthew 17, starting in verse 14. Here's what it says. They came to where a large crowd had gathered to wait for Jesus. And a man came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, please show your tender mercy towards my son. He is a demon who afflicts him. He has epilepsy as well, and he suffers horribly from seizures. He often falls into the cooking fire or into the river. So I brought him to your followers, your disciples, but they weren't able to heal him." And so Jesus replied, "Where is your faith? Can't you see how wayward and wrong this generation is?" And the NIV, Jesus says, "Unbelieving generation. How much longer do I stay with you and put up with your doubts? Bring your son to me." Verse 18. Then Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was instantly healed. Come on, somebody. Isn't that awesome? Can I tell you something today? That it doesn't matter what your situation is, when Jesus gets involved, your situation changes. Can I get amen in God's house? Like, everything's different. I got to preach before I even finish this text. Y'all know me. I get too excited sometimes. Or let's be honest, all the time, I get too excited. But I love this because it wasn't working before. Jesus gets involved and there's a miracle that happens. And I think about in our church context, okay? Like thank God for the worship. Thank God for the videos and the lights and the phenomenal preaching you get every single week. Like, thank God for that. But can I tell you something? That doesn't really matter. What you need and what I need is an encounter with Jesus. Can I get an amen in God's house? That's the difference maker in our lives. And that was the difference maker for this family. Verse 19. Later, the disciples, they came to Jesus privately. They were embarrassed, and they asked him, "Hey, Jesus, why couldn't we do that? Why couldn't we do what you just did?" And he told them, "It was because of your lack of faith. I promise you, if you have faith inside of you, no bigger than the size of a small mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, 'Move away from here,' and go over there, and you will see it move. There is nothing you couldn't do. But this kind is cast out only through prayer and fasting." If you're taking notes, I'm calling part two of our series, "Put Some Mustard on It." I don't know about y'all with y'all's hot dogs, but like, you keep the mayo to yourself, the ketchup or catsup or whatever you want to call it. Give me some mustard and some little hot sauce on my hot dog. Put some mustard on it. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you so much and so grateful for what you're doing in our midst. Again, God, we're excited. It's not a chore to be here with your people worshiping your holy name. God, we're excited to be here. We don't have to be here. We get to be here. And so, God, may you continue to move. I pray, God, that you would stir faith even now. And, God, this very important story from your holy word, the Bible, I pray, God, that you would speak to us so clearly. I pray, God, we would hear from you. And honestly, whatever we need, Holy Spirit, may you speak it to us. May you encourage us. May you challenge us. And may we leave this service later today, God, closer to you and more empowered in our walk with you. We love you. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. You know, I'll never forget what God did one night at a youth service. I've told you before that I was a youth pastor for many years in Dallas. And I'll never forget, it was a Wednesday night, and it seemed like it was normal, just kind of getting into it. But honestly, there was a little bit of a buzz that started before the service. And it was almost like tangible, that you could feel even amongst some teenagers and some young adults, that there was a faith that was present. There was a faith in the environment. And I'll never forget that our worship pastor's wife, she had just found out either earlier that day or earlier that week that her aunt, who she was very close to, she actually had gotten cancer, diagnosed with cancer. And it was really, really awful news. And some of you have been through that yourselves or with a loved one. And even though it was really bad news, she brought it to us that Wednesday night, that need, that problem. And again, there was just a faith in the room that we could pray and we believed God would move. And maybe it was because we were all young, and maybe it's because we didn't know any better and life had not beaten us down as much as it had for some, but there was a faith in the room. And so I'll never forget that we prayed. Her aunt wasn't even there, but we prayed and we just believed God, even though the doctor said that she was gone, basically, even though the doctor said there's really nothing they could do, that they would try to do surgery, invasive surgery right away to try to get as much of it out as they could, that even though the doctor said there really wasn't much hope, I don't know, y'all, like there was just a faith in the room, and we prayed for God to move. We gathered together and we believed God. We lifted up our faith to him. And later on that week, we found out that that worship pastor's wife, her aunt, that she went into that surgery and the anesthesiologist put her asleep and they cut her open and they saw the cancer. And in the doctor's own words, friend, God is my witness. Here's what he said. He said, I have never seen anything like this. As they looked into her body, literally the cancer had separated from the rest of her body. It had shriveled up and it had died on the inside of her. And so here's how the doctor described it. The way he described it, I will never forget this the rest of my life. He said it was like scooping out ice cream from her body as he just literally scooped out the cancer from inside of her. I remember that same Wednesday night. I'm telling you, there was just a faith in the room. I'm telling you, your environment is important that you're in. And there was a faith. And that same Wednesday night, there was a teenager, a young man. He came to me and he showed me a text message he had just gotten from a friend. And that friend, who was a girl, she said that her grandfather had just had a stroke. And because of that, he fell down to the floor and he hit his face on concrete. So he's all bloodied and he was all beat up. And of course, he had the stroke. And so he got this text message. And here's what his friend said. She said, at this very moment, we're in an ambulance heading to the emergency room. Would you pray? And so we began to pray. Again, there was a faith in the room. We began to believe God. Here's what we found out later that night, that exactly what we prayed happened. And here's what we prayed, that this grandfather would get to the ER, they would look him over, do all the tests and say, I don't know what's going on, but you're okay, and send him home. And that's exactly what happened in his life. I'll never forget those stories. And I could tell you a few of those where we prayed and we believed God would do the impossible, and he did exactly what we prayed in those miracle stories. I'll remember the rest of my life. They'll always stick with me. But if I'll be honest with you, there were other times in my life where we prayed and God didn't do the miracle. We clap and we celebrate, right? Man, that's awesome. We'd love to see that happen. Never seen anything like that. But there was other times, many other times, so we prayed for someone to be healed of cancer and they didn't get better, it got worse. We prayed for someone to be healed and they weren't healed on this side of heaven. And so the question of the day, the question that's asked in the text we just read from Matthew chapter 17 is this: God, why don't you always do miracles? God, you did it with someone else, but why have you not done it in my life? And there's doubt that creeps in. What do you do when God doesn't answer your prayer on this side of heaven? And that question is in Matthew 17, but also this story, it's so important that it made it into two other gospel accounts if you want to study it later on, Mark chapter 9 and Luke chapter 9. And so we're going to study it together and we're going to answer that question and we're going to look honestly at the text and God's going to do a great work in us. Got a couple of things to share with you quickly. Here's the first thing I want you to see from this scripture, Matthew chapter 17. Number one is this: Faith can move mountains, but doubt can create them. Faith can move mountains, but doubt can create them. This is verses 14 through 17 in Matthew chapter 17. You see, doubt's a real big problem. A real big problem. And we all have reasons why we doubt. We all have reasons why we stop believing God. But in the text specifically, with the crowd and the disciples and this father, we see two big reasons why they doubted God. And you're going to relate to these just like I can relate to these, okay? And so if you're taking notes, write these down. But two reasons that we doubt God. Here's the first reason. We're influenced by the crowd. Oh, unbelieving generation, Jesus says, Matthew 17:17, and we're influenced by the crowd. Can I tell you something? I mentioned the very beginning of this message, church. The people you have around you and the environments that you spend the most time in, they are either cultivating an atmosphere of faith or they're cultivating an atmosphere of doubt. Let's just tell it like it is, okay? We all have people in our lives that we've given way too much access in our lives. Negative people. Here's what I know about negative people. Negative people seem to have a problem for every solution. You know I'm speaking the truth today. Man, they got a problem. Not a solution for every problem. They got a problem for every solution. And negative people, glass half empty. Oh, I'm just a realist. No, you're not. You're negative. They wear you out. Like, don't be like that. And don't allow those people to be the closest to you. Please hear me, friend. I've been saying this for years. I learned this from my youth pastor when I was a teenager. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. It's the truth. Not just for young people, for adults, okay? You are becoming the average of your five closest friends. And so if you don't like your faith level right now, if you feel like you're doubting God right now, maybe you need to question the people that you've given the most access into your life. Because if you're in an atmosphere of faith, I'm telling you, something stirs in the middle of that. But at the same time, if you're in an atmosphere of doubt, that's what's going to come out of you as well. Here's what I'm really saying, friend. Your relationships are spiritual. Not just physical or emotional. They're spiritual. And so maybe you have doubt today because you're being influenced by the crowd. It happened in this story, and it's happened with so many of us throughout our lives. Here's the second reason we have doubt, and again, we see it in this story too. Here it is. We've tried things that didn't work. Talked about that a little bit at the beginning, right? The time you did pray, and you really did believe, but it didn't happen like you thought it would. This is verse 16 of chapter 17. And this one in particular, friend, this is where the disciples are really struggling in the story. Just to give you some context, before this situation with this boy and the demon possession and the epilepsy and all that kind of stuff, before this moment, the disciples were basically batting 1,000 when it came for their ministry. Like before this, they prayed for people in Jesus' name and they were healed. Before this, they prayed for people to be delivered from the demonic and they were in Jesus' name. So they were batting 1,000. It was basically perfect. And then all of a sudden, they do the same kind of things in Jesus' name and it doesn't happen. And that's why doubt began to creep in. Here's what I'm saying. It had happened before, but it wasn't happening now. And again, the question I have had in the past and the question maybe you have in the present is this: God, why don't you do miracles all the time? Why don't you do miracles all the time? Like I know you can do miracles for others. That's not hard for us, right? Oh, I love that story, Pastor, about when you were a youth pastor. That's great, but what about me? I know you can do miracles, God, for other people, but will you do it for me? I've heard that story of you healing someone else of cancer, but will you do it for my family, for me personally? I know you restored their marriage, but will you do it for us? I know you gave them a miracle baby, God, but will you do it for us? I know they got the job, and I'm happy for them, kinda, and I've been praying for a long time. Will you do it for me? And when it doesn't happen right away, let's be honest, we doubt. And sometimes we give up. And we become unbelieving believers. a living and breathing paradox, friend. I believe Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, but it's hard for me to believe that he's going to break through in this area of my life personally. And again, this is where the disciples are at. This is where the Father is in this story. And really, let's focus on the Father for a second. If you would read Mark chapter 9, same story, different perspective, in a little bit more detail, you would find out that this Father, his Son, is his only Son. But not only that, we find out that his Son has been struggling in these ways his entire life. So we don't even know all the different things that he's tried. We just know that he tried with the disciples, right? We know that he's gotten to Jesus, and we know he's got a posture of humility. He's desperate, you could say. But think about him. Think about this Father. Think about this Son. This has been happening for a while, and this is a very public issue. Very public. Can't hide it. It's an embarrassing issue. It's a life-threatening issue for his Son. And so this Father, he's desperate. He maybe at one point had a little faith. That's why he brought his Son to the disciples. That's why he's asking Jesus. But he is struggling with his doubt. In Mark chapter 9, he actually says this to Jesus. Jesus, would you help me with my doubt? Would you help me with my unbelief? He's struggling and doesn't know if there's hope. But then Jesus steps in. Here's a second point. I hope it really encourages you. Number two is this from the story. God can do something big with something very small. This is really going to help some people because there's a lot of bad views on faith that are not theologically sound at all. And so I'm going to help somebody today, probably several people. But this is in verses 18 through 21. Jesus tells this Father, he tells the disciples and the crowd, don't underestimate the size of a seed. Like, it's small, but it's enough when you put it in the right place. I want to say that again. That's going to be fresh revelation for somebody. It's small, but it's enough when put in the right place. Think about it. It's kind of like the small key that unlocks a big door, right? And we've all got doors in our lives. We've all got obstacles and you could say mountains. We've got things in front of us that are separating us, and we want to get to the other side, but we don't know how to get to the other side. And so what do we want to do? We want to call up John Deere and Caterpillar. Would y'all come help me bulldoze over this door in front of me? But can I tell you, friend, you don't need a bulldozer when it comes to your faith. You need a small key. Y'all know, this is true. I have never seen a key that's as big as the door. Like, you got those fake keys that your realtor makes you hold up, right, to celebrate when you close on a house, and they pretend like they're doing it for you, but they aren't doing it for you. All their information is right there on the key. They want other people to see you smiling and happy, so they'll refer you to, I'm telling y'all, like, this is what's going on. Those keys are big, but they're fake. This key is real and it's small. And every small key unlocks a really big door. And faith is that way. So can I say it to you this way? God can do a lot with a little. Your little faith is enough for God. That's sound theology. Your little faith, Jesus says, can move a mountain. Your little faith, the size of a mustard seed, it can change things if it's put in the right place. The key, the seed, is always small, but it's enough when you put it in the right place. And we're talking about faith. Would you write this down if you're taking notes? It's not the size of your faith that counts, it's the size of your God. I'm giving you some sound theology here, because when you put it all on your faith, you're putting it all on your works and what you can do. So for you, it's just little faith. Would somebody shout with me, little faith? Come on, shout it again, little faith. With you, it's little faith, and it's enough if it's placed in God. Why? Because our God is unlimited. Our God is the one who does the impossible. I love this illustration that Jesus gives, right? The mustard seed. That's why I said, put some mustard on it. I love that illustration. Now, you know that it's small. We just read that. If you've grown up in church like myself, you've heard things about the mustard seed. Here's what you need to know. Jesus uses that seed illustration on purpose when talking about faith, because at the time in Palestine, it was the smallest known seed. And you can Google this later, but a mustard seed is so small that if it was in my hand right now, which it's not, but if it was, you couldn't see it from where you're seated. You could not see it through that camera online. The average mustard seed is 1 to 2 millimeters long. 1 to 2. It's tiny. You could say it this way. It's practically invisible. Now, that's how it starts. Here's the really cool part. When it's put in the right place. I think I've said that a few times, right? When you put it in the right place in the ground, it grows to be 30 feet tall and 30 feet wide. Starts out 1 to 2 millimeters long. Tiny. You couldn't see it from where you're at right now, but it grows 30 feet up and 30 feet wide. What does Jesus say? That's enough for me. That's enough. And so you don't have to go to a conference or I need a week away. No. You just need a little faith. And if your little faith is put in the right place, it's enough. Why? Because our God is big. And what our God does, friend, I hope there's some faith stirring on the inside of you. I hope we've got an atmosphere of faith and not doubt right now. When you place it in God, I'm telling you, he can use your little faith and the impossible become possible with him. If you just believe and if you just trust, it's little, but God can use it to do big things in our midst. I'm telling you, God is big enough. It's the small key that unlocks the big door. So here's how we're going to end this service. It's different than how we normally do, but it's on purpose. I thought this past week, and really God was stirring this in my heart. Really, I felt like God said this, Ryan, you can't preach about miracles and not give a moment for miracles. So this is our moment to bring our little faith to God. So here's what I want us to do. In the room, if you can do this online, depending on how you're watching and when you're watching, but as quietly as you can, this is not time to pack up and sneak out of here, but as quietly as you can, would you stand to your feet with me? If you're able to. It's not the size of our faith that counts, it's the size of our God. Let there be an atmosphere of faith right now. Little faith is enough. I love how one biblical commentary describes this kind of faith, theologically sound. Here's what they say about this. It is a striking illustration of the fact that faith is, for Jesus, not a matter of intellectual assent, but of a practical reliance on a living God. It's important to observe here that it is not the amount of faith that brings the impossible within reach, but the power of God, which is available to even the smallest faith. You got a little, it's enough. You've got a little, it's enough, because our God is big. And so here's what we're gonna do. I want you to close your eyes with me here in the room. Tony's gonna lead us in just a chorus or two, not a whole song, but a song where we bring our attention, our focus to Jesus. And then I'm gonna pray for a couple of things right where you're standing. So I know you're nervous. For some, your heart's beating fast. Man, I've been praying for a while and it hasn't happened. I've been influenced by the crowd and I've got doubt. This is your moment. Let faith rise up from within. Faith is pleasing to God. So I want to encourage you to worship for a moment, to lift your hands, to lift your voice. And let's let faith arise. Come on, Tony, lead us.
We believe, we believe.
Come on, lift your voice.
I believe in you. You're the God of miracles.
Let faith arise. Let faith arise.
I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles.
Come on, little faith is enough. Little faith is enough.
I believe in you.
you to keep your eyes closed. You can put your hands down for a second. I want to pray for some people. I want you to participate online as well. A couple of things on my heart right now that I want to pray for right where you're standing. God wants to move in your life. Little faith is enough. If there's anybody in the room, anybody online that you're like, Pastor, I need a physical healing in my body. Somebody I love, maybe it's you, but I need a physical healing. I need God to do a miracle. Would you lift both hands up to Jesus right now? Come on, yeah, we got hands going up all over the place. Respond online. If your hands aren't up, you're praying underneath the sound of your voice because you know this is a moment where we need an encounter with Jesus. You don't need a pastor or a worship leader or a church building or a ministry program. You need Jesus to move in your life. Let's pray right now. God, we believe that you are the God of the impossible. Nothing is too big for you. Yes, it's over our head, but it is under your feet. And so we pray right now with little faith, believing in a big God, that you are healing physical bodies right now, that you're setting the captive free, that no disease, no cancer, no sickness, no COVID-19, nothing is greater than you. So may you do it now, Jesus. We humble ourselves before a mighty God, a loving God who has all power and all might and all authority. And may you move in power right now and heal physical bodies. We believe we've got little faith today. We believe we got little faith in a big God. May you do it. May you do it. May you do it. Keep those eyes closed. Put your hands down for a second. Something else stirring in my heart. And I know some stories, but I know there's many stories I don't know about. But anybody in the room, either you, online as well, anybody, it's you or maybe a close family member, a close friend, but you need a job, would you lift up both hands to Jesus right now? You've got hands up, hands up, hands up. If your hands aren't up, you're praying, right? We're the church. We pray for each other. We lift each other up. We help each other. We carry each other's burdens. Let's pray right now. God, we come before you right now. In Jesus' name. And we pray, God, for jobs to break through. We pray right now with that small little faith, unlocking that big door, God, that you would provide supernaturally, that no longer would they need unemployment, but we pray for new jobs, even better jobs than they had before. We pray for new ideas. We pray for new businesses. We pray for expansion. We pray, God, for unmerited favor upon their lives. May they shine like stars amongst the many applications out there. God, may it be something about their resume, something about their interview that stands out, and may you give them favor, and may you provide in a supernatural way. We pray for it to happen this week in Jesus' name. We got little faith. A big God. Little faith. Put your hands down. Those eyes closed. One more thing. You're here today, and maybe I didn't hit it with the first two, but you need a miracle. I don't have to say your category for you to respond. This is your chance right now. No matter what it is, no matter what it looks like, if it's small to you or giant to you, if you need a miracle, God to move supernaturally in your life, would you lift up both your hands to him in the room online? God, we pray for breakthrough. Jesus, we pray for freedom. For who the Son sets free is free indeed. God, we pray that you would move powerfully. We pray, God, you would move in such a way that it dumbfounds the doctors, that you'd move in such a way that even the skeptic, even the doubter would say, wow, God, move supernaturally in your life. We pray, God, for breakthrough. We pray, God, that you would move in such an incredible way that it would be a moment that marks their life forever, that was the moment that everything changed, that was the moment that Jesus stepped into the middle of what I was going through, and there was peace to the storm that was moving all around me. God, we pray for healing. We pray, God, for provision. We pray, God, for the prodigal son and daughter to come home. We pray, God, for restoration in that relationship. We pray, God, that you would supernaturally move. And we believe we've got little faith today. And when our little faith is tied to you, it's enough. It's not the size of our faith that counts. It's the size of our God. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for how you're moving. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcov.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.